order. And if you will call the roll, please.
Okay. Board Member Zuber?
Present.
Board Member Kermode? Board Member Barbage?
Present.
Board Member Houchin?
Present.
Board Member Guerrero Salgado?
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to call for approval of the minutes from our June 6th meeting. Is there a motion?
This is Laura, I second.
And I got a second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Public comments. Do we have some public with us this evening? Unpaid public. No? Okay. Then we've got the mid-year status report. It says receive and file. Is that right?
It is. Chair Barbridge, this item is an opportunity to provide your oversight committee with an update on where we're at as a county in implementing the various Measure K funded initiatives that your board or your committee had recommended to the board, and the Board of Supervisors subsequently approved within the county's budget for fiscal year 23-24. So with your indulgence, I'm going to call on Elsa Martinez. There she is. She's our Chief Financial Officer for Kern County. And she's going to walk you through kind of an update on each of our different initiatives. And then we'll be happy to take any questions from your board or your council and the public. So, Ms. Martinez.
Perfect. Thank you.
Well, good afternoon, committee members. Again, my name is Elsa Martinez. I'm function as the Chief Financial Officer for the county. Sitting next to me is Caitlin Singer, Fiscal and Policy Analyst, and she will be doing the presentation on the Measure K Accountability and Transparency Dashboard under Item 6. And then Joseph Arriola, he's our Senior, Fiscal and Policy Analyst. He is here to help me because I am technically challenged most of the time. So if something goes wrong, I'm sure he'll be able to assist us as well. But he's also the analyst for our law enforcement, public safety departments as well. First, I want to thank you and the staff members for coming to this meeting. This is our first mid-year presentation of Measure K. And if you would like to see something different or additional information, please feel free to let us know and we will accommodate to the best of our abilities. Our goal is to make the information transparent and useful for this committee and the public. So normally this slide is in front of our Board of Supervisors as a timeline of our budget adoption, but I want to make sure that I give you the information where this committee fits in this process, so you will see how the budget and the recommendations and the reviews of this committee fit into the county budget. You all have received the mid-year report, so today what we're doing is a short presentation on the report. During our last meeting, Mr. Service explained the roles and responsibilities of this committee and the Board of Supervisors. This slide shows the different dates our fiscal year 23-24 budget for our budget process. Today we are here in the kind of orange-reddish box, which is our mid-year report, and while it's the last box, our work doesn't stop there. We continue to monitor spending, collections of revenue, and the performance of not only Measure K projects, but also the county programs as a whole. We will return to this committee prior to the fiscal year 24-25 preliminary budget is presented to the Board of Supervisors in June to review the Measure K budget for compliance with the enacting ordinance. So while those dates are for this current year, we are currently preparing the dates for our next budget. So most likely we will be back to your board before June 27, 28 of this year for recommendations. Listed here, I wanted to include the priorities because I think it's very important as we told our residents that what are their priorities, We did a lot of community meetings, a lot of surveys. So listed here are the priorities that crafted the ballot measure and reflect the community priorities identified through those surveys and meetings. This slide shows not only the priorities, but also the board-approved recommended budget for the Measure K. In total, we have $56.2 million, which is exactly equal to the estimated revenue when we adopted the budget. The projects were recommended after careful consideration of the priorities that are fulfilling, and we pay particular importance to vital public safety services such as fire, law enforcement, and 911 response, because that was the number one priority of our community. So we don't implement programs. The CAO doesn't go out and respond to phone calls. We have departments that do the work. So in this graph, what I wanted to show you is how Measure K dollars are allocated to the multiple county departments based on the priority that they are fulfilling. About 46% is allocated to the fire department, 31% to sheriff. You'll see a 2% for human resources. And as a reminder, that allocation is actually directed to recruitment of first responders, sheriff, detention deputies, firefighters. We have a very difficult time recruiting those classifications. So as part one of the projects was a dedicated team to recruit for first responders. I know this is a long list, but this is the list of projects that this committee reviewed in June and the board approved as part of the budget in August 2023. I bring August, because it's important to know that because these are new programs, departments cannot start implementation until the board approves. So they technically only have from September through December to implement at least the first step. So you'll see once we go through the project that a lot of the projects are barely starting. However, once the project is started and if it's an ongoing project, you'll see that they'll have a full year of, you know, implementation, services, and expenses in the coming year. As Mr. Service indicated in the last meeting, we do not want to overcommit on ongoing projects. We want to have flexibility. So if we have some money left to allocate it to one-time projects on unincorporated area to deliver services on that area. These are one-time costs as we have in this budget, which is the fire station, the communication project. Once those are complete, that money can be used for something else. I'm going to pause right here in case this committee has any questions regarding the first part of the presentation before I move on to the status of the collections and the revenue. No? All right. Well, good news. Last time I was here, I told you I received $1,000, my first payment. And luckily, collections have been steady now, so we are going to move to show you what we have collected for the first few months of the year. Measure K provides, as you recall, 1% sales tax to be collected in incorporated areas of the county. The California Department of Tax and Fee Administration, also known as CDTF, collects and distributes transactions use tax applicable and then submits to counties, cities. Measure K became effective April 1st, 2023, but collections are not received until June. So whatever they collect in April, the county will not get it until 2 months later. So the first full payment, full months, did not get into the county until June. Again, you know, first payment, $1,360, we were happy, but that was a little bit scary. Well, I'm happy to report that collections are now more consistent and we are receiving monthly payments from CDTF. So this first slide, the first line shows the collections for April, May, and June. Remember, those are collections, not when we receive them. And so we originally, when we presented in June, we were estimating that we would receive 13.5, but after consultation with our consultant, because this is a new tax, we were not 100% sure that that was a good estimate. So we revised our estimate a little bit to down to 12.7 million, and now our collections were more in line with that revised estimate. Our first 3 months of collections, we received 12.5 million. Now, for this current fiscal year, we estimated $56.2 million. With the first half of the year, we have received 27 $36.3 million, overall $39.8 million since the sales tax was implemented in April. This just breaks it down a little bit by month collections. That's important for cash flow. Like if I'm spending money on Measure K, I want to make sure I receive the cash. If you notice, in September, it shows almost double the amount of the previous 2 months. Well, the reason is that CDTF makes payments the first 2 months of the fiscal year, and then they do a reconciliation and a true-up. So that's not that people went out and bought a lot of things that month. It just happens that they do that true-up. And you'll see, as we collect more data, you'll see those true-ups come like every 3 months approximately. Right now, it's a little bit difficult to predict the monthly breakdowns since we don't have history. However, working with our sales tax consultant, we are confident that we're going to meet our annual estimate. And overall, we feel that the collections by month, even though they're varied, overall, our total is going to be within our budget. We're right now estimating a little bit less than $815,000 above our original estimate. We'll revise that estimate as we get closer, and then we'll have at least one full year of data to make predictions for the next budget. I love graphs, so this is just a graphical representation of the same information. The darker green are actual collections, the lighter greens are our estimates, and the blue in April, May, and June are our actual collections the prior year. So we'll be able to see a trend that will help us predict better to make recommendations for future budgets. That's just a way of a tool we use to make recommendations to this committee and the board. One thing that is very important is, where is this revenue coming from? So consistent with what our presentations to the community, most of Measure K is collected on businesses and industry transactions, such as fuel, service stations, construction. Only about 30%, and I would say less than that because I cannot separate like the purchase of vehicles between business and, you know, me going to buy a new vehicle. So I included it in the, to be conservative, I've included it into the consumer, the green category. So I would say less than 30% comes from regular residence transactions. You know, I go to the grocery store and buy shampoo, that kind of transaction. The majority, as we said during our meetings, comes from business transactions. Okay, I'm gonna take another pause in case you have any questions on revenue. Okay. Well, now is how is the revenue being used? Again, I'm showing you the priorities, but now I added a few extra columns, okay? So the first column is the budgeted amount approved, reviewed by this committee, and approved by the board on August 29th. Since the adoption of the budget, departments have been working on implementing the projects. Some of the projects are staff intensive, include hiring new people. And again, hiring staff have been challenging for the county due to many factors, such as skill requirements, availability of qualified candidates, backgrounds, or even the job market. We will go over each one of the projects in detail, and you will hear in that portion of the presentation that we are confident that with the equity adjustments approved by the board and the enhanced recruitment by our HR department, we will be able to fill, if not all, most of the positions with the second half of the fiscal year. The slide also shows the year-to-date cost in the middle column, and then our best estimate for year-end expenditures. As you can see in the far right column, we anticipate approximately $41.3 million in expenditure by June. The difference between the collected amount and the actual expenditures, normally referred as budget savings, those funds, which is will be a great candidate for one-time projects. So if we don't use all our resources, what we would recommend to this committee and the Board of Supervisors in June is to allocate those resources for one-time projects throughout the community. So we're working on that right now. We're preparing for our next budget, and we'll incorporate our estimates into the next budget development. All right, now we're getting into each one of the projects. So the first one is the economic development, and that's priority number 6, which is attracting new industries and jobs. This project is being implemented by the county administrative office, and our first task was to hire the right person for the job. So we have done that. We have a chief economic development officer, and we also have one staff member that came to us with experience in planning and other areas. They have been busy. I don't know if you had a chance to read the report, but the first task, they look at the barriers that we have attracting businesses and attracting. So the first thing we need to look at ourselves. So they tasked themselves to getting us a consultant to look at our permitting process. They are right now currently engaging the consultant, and we're going to have that vendor on site assisting them looking at our permitting process. Where can we improve ourselves to make sure that we're not only attracting the businesses, but we're getting them a permit fast so they can implement that. They're going to continue working with the Economic Development Corporation as well as our B3K entity to kind of bring those businesses to Kern County. They have also been able to achieve to send our staff to Stanford University to do a fellowship where they're going to help us evaluate our own data. I think one of the challenges we have is that we have a lot of data in the county, but we don't have a way to put it together and evaluate to make decisions. So this fellowship will train our staff to do that, look at the data, and what can we use the data to attract businesses. And if any of you know Jim, he's out and about. He is making meetings, he's trying to make connections, he's everywhere. So we're very excited to have him on board, and I think it's going to be, as we move forward with this strategy and this project, I think we're going to start seeing results pretty soon. When we presented last time, we mentioned to you that we were going to do performance measures. We are. And as part of the dashboard presentation, we're going to show you where we're keeping track of things and where those performance measures reside. We do it every quarter. We're posting it on the website so our community can see what we're doing with the money they're providing to the county. From a budget perspective, originally this project had a budget of $529,444. We want to do a small change, take from an administrative cost that we're not spending and putting it in this category to use for that consultant to review our permitting process. But overall, we'll stay within budget, and this project is actually started and we're implementing.
Hey, Elsa, before we move on, I'd just like to make a comment to the committee. So she mentioned Jim. She wasn't talking about me. If you don't know Jim Damian, Jim, can you wave your hand or stand up? So Jim came to us early this summer as a wonderful addition. You know, he's a business founder, entrepreneur, and really passionate about economic development in Kern County. And so we were blessed to be able to bring him on board to spearhead this. He's energetic. He knows the business community, and because he's kind of lived the entrepreneurial life, understands kind of outside the government perspective what it takes to actually get a business up and running and how to address some of the hurdles that are out there. So, I'm speaking on this topic because the economic development priority falls under the chief administrative office. So this directly falls under my purview. And this is something both my predecessor, Mr. Alsop, and I felt it was important for us to be able to use some of this funding to help us improve our economic development effort just because of the pressures that are on Kern County with respect to our oil and gas industry and our agriculture industry for a variety of reasons and our need to diversify and grow our economy in different ways. And so Jim is up to that task. He came on board and he's off and running. As Ms. Martinez mentioned, you know, we're looking at a couple things, both internally, how do we make sure that our permitting process is predictable, is transparent, that developers know what to expect when they come in. How do we make this? And if you ever talk to Jim, he'll tell you, you know, his mantra, his goal here is to make Kern County the best place to start or grow a business in California. That's what we're charged to do with. We're looking at internally, how do we get out of our own way to make that happen and make that predictable? what kind of investments are needed here in order to facilitate. We don't open businesses as the county, but we can help businesses open. We can make sure the right infrastructure's in place, the right job training opportunities are out there. How do we support the entrepreneurs and those small businesses that are growing? And then how do we look at regional economic development initiatives, things like, as Ms. Martinez mentioned, you know, KDC, Kern Economic Development Corporation, or B3K, regional initiatives, and how we grow different sectors and opportunities around this county. So it's an exciting role. It's a new role coming out of our office, but that's what we're doing, and it really does set the stage for the future of Kern County as we look to expand our economic footprint and provide future opportunities for the community. So that's just wanted to add a couple high level kind of vision, you know, what we see is falling under this bucket and what this initiative is really all about. And we're in the beginning phases of that, but there's more to come, and we're seeing some early successes. So without taking too much time, I just wanted to speak a little bit on that topic in particular, and I'll turn it back over to Ms. Martinez.
So our next project is administration and oversight. This is, again, the county administrative office. We're tasked with the administration and oversight to ensure that departments are held accountable for the allocated resources. We have spent a little bit of money. This is just creating a dashboard, a little bit of reporting, preparing agendas. We're trying to be as efficient as possible. And so we were able to allocate some of the resources that we originally included here to the economic development because we felt that that's where the need was. And we still believe that we'll have some savings there as we continue to manage this project. Our next project is our communication network expansion. As we mentioned to you during the last meeting, the project will expand the existing communication system that is being replaced to allow for better public safety coverage in Rosemont, Cuyama, Lebec, Onyx, and Bologna Pass. This will enhance our 911 response and provide increased safety for our first responders. This project actually requires an investment of $28.5 million, but we spread it over 5 years. Our first, our collections from the first 3 months, 12.6, were dedicated to this project, and then we set aside $5 million to do this. Although this project will not be completed until 27-28, it's already in progress. We're looking at the sites at those areas to site acquisition, so the vendor that we have, Motorola, can start the planning to expand services in that area. So we will you will see this project again next year as we're setting $5 million until we have the $28.5 set aside for this portion of the project. Our human resources, safety, recruitment, and retention, as I mentioned, this is an enhanced and dedicated team of employees within the human resources department that entirely focus on recruitment and retention with our public safety department. Hiring public safety is very challenging sometimes, so they have done an excellent job. All our staff are in place. We hired that team. I don't know if you have LinkedIn or social media, community meetings, they're everywhere recruiting, and we have made significant progress on public safety, especially in our, you'll hear a little bit later, in our detention deputies that allow us to take those deputies into the jail and put our sheriff deputies out on the street serving the community. So they have done an excellent job. They're out and about recruiting, and you'll see in the performance measures all the work that they have done. Again, they're gonna have a little bit savings on the budget side because of the delay on recruiting that dedicated team. But next year you will see a full year cost for the staff. Community service technicians, this is a project that is to be implemented by our sheriff's office. And the objective of this project is to decrease response time for lower level calls. The community service technicians will respond to lower level, allowing the sheriff deputies to respond to more emergent, more priority calls. We have right now, this project funds 10 community service technicians. We have 14 candidates on backgrounds. That's why you see only $8,000 is for the background cost, very little cost. but we hope that out of those 14 candidates in background, we'll be able to hire the 10 and bring them on board the second half of the year. Good. This is one of the projects that we mentioned to you on the June meeting that the board made a decision to implement early. And there was a reason for this, because we were having so much difficulty filling the detention deputy position that we were mandating overtime on our sheriff deputies. We were not having sheriff deputies respond as timely to calls of service in the community. So this is one priority that will allow our hiring with higher compensation detention deputies to allow the sworn deputies to move out of the detention facilities and into patrol assignments to provide safety for our community. To address this, the board approved salary increases to reduce the attrition. We were having attrition of 37%, and we have mandates, staffing mandates at the jail. You have to have those positions at the jail were mandated, so we were mandating significant overtime and having our sheriff deputies that should be patrolling on the streets in the jail. So the board felt that that was needed to be done. We have done two academies. We are hiring a total of 38 candidates, and we have actually, because of the increases, we never were able to transfer laterals from other communities. Sheriff deputies didn't look at Kern County as a place of employment. We have had 13 candidates transferred to Kern County from already trained, already sheriff deputies come to our county. So we are making good progress. We still have a little bit of work to do, but by having the detention deputies at the jail, we are able to successfully attract sheriff deputies. So that was the main goal of this project. I don't know, Mr. Service, if you may want to address.
Yeah, I want to expand a little bit on this. So this is really critical. So when we talk about frontline law enforcement, having sheriff's deputies out in our communities in the unincorporated areas, having these detention roles filled is critical to making that happen, because if you hear from the sheriff, he says that, look, there is a requirement for him to staff the jails. By law, he has to staff the jails and he has to staff the courts. And he doesn't have to staff patrol. There's no law that says you have to patrol. So what happens is, if you don't have detention deputies, you pull sheriff's deputies off the street and they have to be in the jails because they have to man those jails by law. So one of the first things we did, as soon as we knew Measure K passed, before we collected a dollar, we went to the Board of Supervisors and recommended they provide a significant pay increase to detention deputies so we could immediately start filling those positions, because that's the quickest way to free up sheriff's deputies to get out into the community. This was done in conjunction with the sheriff. And so this was the first item. So really in January of last year, the Board of Supervisors approved a 22% pay increase for detention deputies. So pretty significant, got us back into the market. We were in contract, so we just brought it to the table and said, look, we need to pay you more money because we need to fill these vacancies. It's been a year now. So realize that was January. We didn't collect your first $1,000 until April. But we knew this was urgent. Speaking with our recruiting team, even last week, looking at kind of where we're at now a year later, we've got, I believe the number is we were net positive for the last 12 months, 50 detention deputies. So we hired a net, so because we constantly have people retiring or leaving, so you have people leaving, net positive 50. So, and if you look back at prior years, that net number had been negative for years, that we were just slowly losing more than we were able to hire. So I say this because it's positive affirmation that the strategy's working, that we're starting to fill those positions, and that's enabling the sheriff to have more flexibility in how he deploys his resources. So we subsequently, and Ms. Martinez will talk about pay increases and things we've done for sheriff's deputies, but the first thing we did was detention deputies. And so even though some of the other measures that we're talking about, or initiatives we're talking about today, didn't get implemented until August, This one actually has been implemented early, and we took the risk to make that happen because it was such a critical component to meeting that law enforcement need. So I just want to let you know and give you some data that says, hey, this is working, and it's going to have an impact in our outlying communities. Even though it's focused in the jails, it's a key component to making sure that the Sheriff's Department has the personnel and resources in order to provide that frontline public safety in our unincorporated areas. So thank you. And if you have questions, I see the undersheriff in the back, and I'll put him on the spot. If there's a few different, and I should say, thank you. We've got several departments here represented, all of which have projects here. So if you have operational questions, or, you know, Ms. Martinez is excellent with the numbers, but if we really want to talk about, if you have operational questions about how this is looking in the field, we have people here that can step up and answer those questions for you. There are a couple other items with respect to the Sheriff's Department, so feel free to just chime in and ask if at any point, if you're wondering about something, let us know. We've got folks here that can answer those questions.
Would any of them like to share now, or?
Sure, yeah, we'll.
If I may do the public safety recruitment for sheriff deputy, and then we'll have under sheriff, kind of give you a little bit of background on the sheriff projects, if that's okay. Okay, so as Mr. Service mentioned, we also did equity adjustments for our sheriff deputies. On July 25th, the Board of Supervisors approved a memorandum of understanding with the Union of the Sheriff Deputies. Through this enhanced compensation and the efforts of our Human Resources Division dedicated team and the two academies that the sheriff had completed, we have netted, as I mentioned, 51 deputies, 38 from the academies, and 13 of the transfers. And then while the vacancy is still a little bit high, the sheriff has been able to reduce the response time when it comes to call for service, and I'm sure the undersheriff will give you a little bit more background on that.
Good evening. My name is Larry McCurtin, undersheriff for the Sheriff's Office. And I think just to hit on some points that Mr. Zervis and Ms. Martinez were highlighting, I know these numbers are going off of the fiscal year, and the collection for this measure didn't start until about midway. So internally, what we did is we pulled our internal numbers and went off of our calendar year. And I will say, the sheriff and I's executive staff is in the back, all of our chief deputies. And I can say that we're having different conversations now on a daily basis that we haven't had in at least a decade on our projections, how we're deploying our staff, what resources we're going to need, and where we're going to deploy resources. We're not there yet, but our communities are seeing an influx of deputy sheriffs in the field with more to come. So some of the numbers that we had for calendar year 2023 is, as a total, the Sheriff's Office onboarded 209 total new employees. 65 of those were deputy sheriffs for a net gain of 24 deputy sheriffs, and that was based just on retirements and separations. We have seen a decrease in deputies leaving Kern County to seek employment elsewhere, which we have not seen in years. And I am happy to say that 8 of those 65 were lateral transfers from other law enforcement agencies. I'm comfortable stating that probably in the last decade, we had not seen one lateral transfer come here, and we got 8 last year, with 2 more additional that actually start this Saturday with the Sheriff's Office. And there's some more in backgrounds. For detention deputies, Mr. Zervis worked with our board to solve that issue so that we could deploy deputies. We had deputies assigned to our central receiving facility for years, and those years ago were pulled off of patrol assignments. That facility has been moved out to our Laredo facility. It still has 24 deputy sheriffs assigned to it, but as we graduate academies and increase our detentions deputy ranks, we are replacing those deputies with detentions deputies. And to date, there is close to a dozen positions that we've reallocated around the county and patrol areas, trying to get back to pre-2008 numbers. With that, we did hire 68 detention deputies, as Mr. Zervis said, with a net gain of 50, which was impressive throughout the year. And we also hired 76 civilian support positions with a net gain of 38. So we had a total net gain of 112 employees in the sheriff's office, which is a record year since I've been involved in any of the administration, and I think our chief deputies as well. Now, with that said, we still have over 100 deputy vacancies, over 90 detention deputy vacancies, and over 100 civilian vacancies, but we're working to close those ranks as well. Our recruitment efforts in calendar year 2023, with the assistance of the County Human Resources recruitment team and our own internal recruitment team, which is a collateral assignment for our employees of all different classifications, we hosted 102 total events, and those included high schools, colleges, job fairs, regular community events, and we even held a couple out of county. Moving forward, plans for this calendar year, 2024, we actually have a Deputy Sheriff Academy that is scheduled to graduate in March, so about a month and a half left. There's currently 30 Deputy Sheriff trainees in that class, and everything is looking good. They are progressing well. We have another Deputy Sheriff Academy scheduled to start at the end of March, an overlapping one that's scheduled to start in July, another one that's going to overlap the July Academy in October, and then getting into 2025, February, March, we'll run another Deputy Sheriff Academy. For Detention Deputy Academies, we are starting one this month at the Sheriff's Office, and currently we are between 20 to 25 that'll be in that for detention deputies. Another one will run in May, another one in September, and then in February of 2025, a fourth Detention Deputy Academy will start. And we run that in partnership with Bakersfield College. It's something that we tried last year, and it's been very successful for them and us as well. And for Bakersfield College students to add more opportunity, if somebody, you know, has a career right now and they want to take night classes, it's very difficult for us to hire somebody and put them in there full time. Bakersfield College is working with our staff on doing a nighttime academy for student sponsors in the fall, which once they complete those courses, then they'll get their certificate and can apply as a lateral detention deputy with the sheriff's office, and then we can move forward hiring them. So we have a pretty healthy pool of applicants right now, and one of the good problems that we're having is having enough background investigators to get through, screen these folks, and get them onboarded. So we're trying to work through that as quickly as we can, and we hope to exceed what we accomplished last year. So if anybody has any questions, I'm more than happy.
Thank you.
Just a comment. It's just highly commendable that you said, this is, we need to get out in front of this and move it now. Don't sit and wait. So thank you.
My apologies. I did put a request to speak up. I didn't do an open mic.
Yes, ma'am.
So I am just so thankful for the work that's going on. I just can really imagine the public safety, how people are feeling
about all of the changes that are happening. So thank you so much. I did have a couple of questions, though. When you had mentioned the certificate programs and the night schools, is this something that has to be done in person? So some of the rural communities, do you have the transportation challenges of getting or the certificate programs available to be done in rural communities?
This has to be done in person. It cannot be a hybrid of an online because there are functional skills testing for the detention deputy as well as our deputy.
Is there any potential for transportation services for individuals that would have challenges just to help to remove some of the barriers to employment?
That's something that we can work with Bakersfield College on that front because we have partnerships with our Deputy Sheriff Academy is in conjunction with us and Saracosa Community College. And I know they have a modular academy that they do at night times as well for people who want to be reserve deputy sheriffs or you can do it in modules, but it takes quite some time before you can apply for deputy. So we can talk with Bakersfield College, because the student-sponsored aspect of this is more Bakersfield College for their students.
Okay. When you're doing the breakout, you said that you had 102 events for recruitment. How are you dividing up the recruitments? Who are you reaching out to? What communities?
If you name a community, we've done events there.
Lake Isabella,
we did a joint one in Ridgecrest. I know we've attended a couple of community events in Lake Isabella. And I know Kern River Valley I'm a Kern Valley High School graduate myself, so we try to spend time up there as well.
Okay. So. Is there a way for more public awareness that we can help recruit people to attend these events? Because I live up there, and it's not something I heard about.
Yes, so we've done specific in Ridgecrest. I believe we did a joint. There were some smaller job fairs in our northeast area. But that's something that we're willing to look at and explore this year, just because I know for news to travel in certain communities, especially in Kern River Valley, I know there's some, you know, more closed social media that we could advertise on. So those are things that as we're planning for recruitment this year moving forward, is we're sitting down and figuring out how to target every community in our county, and we'll reach out so that we can determine which platforms are the best for that.
I know that they're doing more and more news media up in the Lake Isabella mm-hmm. area, and 23 News does have someone designated to report out information, so that's something I can assist with. Currently, the hires that you've done, do you have a breakout of where the individuals have been assigned their duties for the new hires, for the deputies?
Yes, so we have typically when a deputy graduates the academy, they either go to our receiving facility or to our downtown services and courts, and that releases deputies that have been on that have transfers to get out. So we've reallocated strategically around the county. We've increased some in our Metropolitan Patrol area. Our northeast Kern area, Ridgecrest and Kern Valley have some of our new recruits that have gone there. Rosemond, Mojave, and the next group that's going to get out will start targeting. We've sprinkled some in our South County and our West County, but start putting some more there, because our East Kern was very impacted, and Northeast Kern the last several years. So our large focus this year was restaffing our substation areas.
Okay, thank you very much. No further questions. Yeah. Appreciate you.
We're going to move to our next initiative, and this is from the district attorney. This project is designated to provide follow-up investigations and on reported crimes in order to increase the number of crimes being resolved and effectively prosecuted. The department has hired some staff. They're nine full-time staff. They're not fully staffed yet, but they have secured space in the North and South Kern to assign staff, and they're working on east and west part of the county. Sometimes having office space in those areas can be a little bit challenging, but they're working on that. They also have coordinated with the human resources, and they're recruiting their six additional positions that are funded with Measure K. We also have three positions that were funded in the crime lab to try to resolve crimes faster. They use that technology to find evidence and assist them with that. Despite not having all the staffing, their performance, they have exceeded their goal of 120 follow-up investigations, and they actually are at 987. So they're trying to do all that follow-up that they said they would. I think we also have a representative from the district attorney office as well, if you have any more specific questions for them. Did I? No? Okay. The next projects are from our fire department. The first one is the construction of a hard flat fire station. This project will actually, as we mentioned before, will relocate the station from Keene to Hard Flat, and then it will repurpose the Keene station to be more like a wild land. With all the fires, we feel that that's the best use of that facility and then move the facility that serves the community in Hart Flat to in that area. This project is actually assigning $9.5 million. They are currently, we own the land, so they're currently designing the facility. They haven't spent money, but they have engaged the architect and they're fully engaged. The completion for this fire station is 2025. This is, again, a one-time cost that will not be recurring, and we'll be able to reallocate those resources to something else in the following fiscal year. Safety squads and medical squads. So this is a multi-phase project. This project will enhance the level of medical care within the unincorporated areas by providing paramedics, advanced life support, and on high volume areas. The fire department is in first wants to implement three safety squads and three medical units. So the safety squads, I always have a like which one does what, but the safety squads will respond not only to medical emergency but other type of calls, where the medical units are strictly medical calls. So this is a project that had to be negotiated with the union, and we're happy to report that they actually started the safety squads by in the areas of Oildale, Station 63, and in Roseman, Station 15. The medical squads are taking a little bit of time because of negotiation and staffing with the union, but they anticipate starting those units in March 2024. And we also have a representative here too, if you have any more specific questions. Similar to our public safety, with our firefighter workforce, one of the priorities of the community is retaining the firefighters. So the Board of Supervisors also approved an equity adjustment for our firefighters on September 26th, and included not only an equity adjustment, but compensation to retain those employees that have X numbers of years of service. With this addition and of that equity and the longevity pay, we are hoping to increase the length of services for firefighters so they're not leaving and we're having to retrain. So this project is our East Kern Mobile Evaluation Team. This one has been a little bit challenging. We actually issue a request for proposal to the Department of Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, and unfortunately, we didn't get the response that we were expecting. So they learned from that. We reissued the RFP, and we expect hopefully we'll have several vendors that will provide a proposal by next week, and we will be able to select the vendor to start implementation. So this project will hopefully carry.
I know that there was the Bakersfield recovery, that was funded, that was approved today, correct? But that's for F Street? I received a notification, somebody told me. Was there something that was approved in the budget today? That's how rumors fly in Lake Isabella.
So we
I'll have to pull it up.
We had a lot of contracts that go in front of the board for approval for different areas. So we may have an existing contract. I'm speaking just out of general. We may have had a contract for a very specific service there that gets approved. But this project itself has not been in front of the board for the contract with the vendor. As soon as we finish the second request for proposal process that we're going through, then we'll bring it back to the board for selection of the vendor so they can hire the staff. We look at trying to see if we could staff it with county. And as I mentioned, hiring staff is very challenging. Even our Metro Med team, it's very understaffed, and it's very challenging to even start one in East Kern. We feel like a vendor has a better chance of hiring the staff to help us to start that project. And again, we have a representative from Behavioral Health here if you need.
I think this one was something with CityServe and F Street, one that I heard about today. Yes, okay.
Yeah, so, and... Yeah, go ahead. I'll refrain. I'll probably get it wrong, so I'll leave it to the experts.
It's not related to Metro K.
Yeah.
It's not, but we can still speak to that.
Yeah, so Robin Taylor, Deputy Director for Behavioral Health. I can speak more on anything of the mobile evaluation team. The other contract that went to the board today is for a separate program in regards to the F Street project. I believe that's with the bridge housing with the CCE grant. Yeah, so that's for a different project. And then for the East Kern Mobile Evaluation Team, that second RFP is closing on the 9th, and we anticipate a quick review process, and hopefully we got a good showing for the pre-proposal meeting, and so we're expecting some responses, and we hope to have a provider from that second proposal. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you.
Our last project is our library, spending hours in our library branches on unincorporated areas. We summarize it for the report, but as we go through the dashboard, you'll see it by library, the breakdown of the cost. Again, this is one project that is staff intensive, and so the library has been hard work trying to recruit for those positions. We put a table on your report that shows the number of hours, the days that our libraries are open. They have been able to open 5 days Fraser Park, and let me make sure I read this correctly. Fraser Park and Bottom Willow, Kern River, they're all open 5 days a week now. They're working on the other areas. As soon as we hire staff, they're being assigned, and hopefully we'll have all our libraries on the unincorporated areas open 5 days a week, at least 5 days a week.
I did just have a comment on that, if I might. I just have to say it's been wonderful to see the increase in the Kern River Valley Library and the projects and things that they're doing and how that they're opening up space for community use. I am just very pleased to see how much this has transitioned. It was something I kind of questioned originally, and I have to say, hands down, it's just been a great implementation in Lake Isabella. Very pleased.
And we have our Director of Libraries here in case you have any additional questions as well. So that concludes the detail on the projects. At this time, if you may be able to answer any additional questions of your committee, and we will receive public comment on it. If
oh, I think we're good.
So Elsa, before we move on, I just want to make one kind of closing comment. So you saw a lot of numbers today, saw a big chart with all our different projects. Big picture, if you take a step back and look at what Measure K was intended to do, what was presented to the voters, really centric around public safety. If you look at all of those projects, about 90% of what we're spending Measure K money on is public safety related. That's district attorney, that's sheriff, that's fire, it's human resources support for those branches. The other 10% is things like libraries, economic development, mental health, those components. So just, you know, as you're thinking about, hey, how these funds are being allocated, that's the budget. And I think I would point to the presentation by Undersheriff McCurtin to really demonstrate the outcomes, the measurable outcomes that are being delivered. You know, it takes a while before, you know, you go out and hire, whether it's a firefighter, you know, or a sheriff's deputy, you know, you don't just do a recruiting event and have them start on Monday, right? Like it takes time to get them trained, you know, both in the classroom, but then field training and actually to have them effectively out in the community. So what we're doing now, what you're working on now and hearing, like this is what you'll see in the community, you know, a year from now. You'll start to see these measurable results. So I guess I would just encourage you to kind of think about it that way. And as you've seen the different, you know, projects that are being funded here, things like libraries, we can move really quick on it. Now we can open a library fairly quickly. And I kudos to Andy Sullivan, our director of libraries, because I make it sound easy. It's not. She has to go hire and train a bunch of people and actually pull it off, and she's done a fantastic job. But that's relatively quick compared to when we're putting on, whether it's DA investigators that we're having to deploy and build out infrastructure for, or sheriff's deputies. So these things are happening now, and the community will see the benefit from these investments. So then the next item, as you receive and file this report and we move forward to the transparency site, I just want to, I want to commend Caitlin Zenger, who's across the table from me. She's in my office, and I would say a couple years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we were looking at how do we report, information transparently to the public. And it was in the middle of COVID, and we were playing with some different tools on how to do that. And she really stepped up and embraced learning how to use Microsoft Power BI, which I realize I'm too old to learn new tricks. And so it kind of takes Excel and turns it into a visualization tool to really help people that aren't maybe as number-centric understand data. And she's done a fantastic job now learning, kind of self-taught, and learning how to use this tool. And we've launched a few different public-facing dashboards to present this information to the public. And you're going to see that today. She's going to demonstrate it to you. She's done a great job with it. Because of the kind of short implementation period, there's not as much data in there. But as the data, as we start getting more reporting on a quarterly basis, you'll start to see how this tool can kind of robustly show the actual outcomes associated with the projects that we're talking about. So, with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to your committee.
If I believe we have to do public comment on the first item, so if before we move to the dashboard.
I'm sorry, it's scheduled on here. However, seeing members of the public in the audience, if there are comments from the public, if you'd like to come forward with those at this time.
Good evening. I'm Carol Bender. I live in District 1. I gave a letter to you all. Thank you, Mr. Zervis, for making it a little easier talking about the 90%, 10% in terms of this, because my concern as a strong supporter of Kay and spending many, many hours trying to get that vote out, I'd like to make sure that the public safety portion is the priority. Until our public safety program needs are fully addressed and funded into the future, adding additional or extra money to other new projects and programs is highly premature. Any additional money not expended in a budget year should be held for a one-time standalone public safety project, such as public safety infrastructure, staffing, and equipment needs. Studies contracted as far back as 2017 that evaluated our fire department recommended replacement or significant upgrades to our existing fire stations within a 10-year period, many of which are now over 60 years old. There are 47 fire stations in Kern County. It's been 7 years since that study, and there's finally some movement to build, but there are many more station improvements to go. The cost for this will be in the many millions each year. The backlog of needed equipment is also in the many millions. It seems more than reasonable to keep the $9.8 million that is now allotted to the current fire station project as an ongoing budget item for that infrastructure improvement. These aging fire stations are not only workstations, but also sleeping quarters, basically a second home for firefighters who work 24-hour shifts, two 24-hour shifts in a row, so 48 hours in these aging fire stations. And in the 2017 report states, as well as the grand jury report, which, again, is included in my letter to you all, state that they are currently inadequate. It's a huge task for you all to figure out what the best route to go, but we have money in the city and in the state and in the county and in the federal government to push forward social service programs, but we've never really had a whole lot of extra money for these public service public safety monies to advance, and which is why we're decades behind in improving them. So please, 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 we voted for Measure K primarily for public safety. We know that we had to add a little bit more, that 10% that Mr. Zervis is, just to make it a legal deal, unless we would have had to have 66 1/3% or have the public service, public at large, create some proposition that probably wouldn't have gone anywhere. So please keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bender. Anyone else?
Chair Barbich, if you don't mind, I'd just like to respond briefly. So appreciate Ms. Bender's comments, and we've received your letter. Just a reminder to your committee, we aren't discussing budget allocations for next year at this meeting. That'll be at your next meeting. Today we're really just looking for an update on where we're at for the previously approved initiatives. Thank you.
Okay, then are we in a situation we want to receive and file this report?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we need a motion, do we?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, we do need a motion. Do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
I got a motion to approve.
This is Laura, second.
And a second over here. All right. Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. I think we're adjourned.
Nope.
Nope.
No? No, we have the
schedule next meeting.
No.
Item number 6, the presentation of Measure K accountability and transparency dashboard. And with your indulgence, we can go ahead and do that presentation right now.
Oh, here it is. Okay. Sorry.
Don't worry. It'll be fast, ma'am. So I'm just going to take the opportunity to show you how to navigate there. It's really easy, but I just want to take the moment from our homepage, which is just kerncounty.com. You'll see these call to action buttons. And the first one is Measure K. So if you click that call to action button, this Measure K microsite will populate for you. And to get to our dashboard, you just click the transparency button. It takes a moment, but our dashboard is going to load here. And I can make it larger so you guys can see it more clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to present this Measure K Accountability and Transparency Dashboard. It was actually launched and published on our website back in October. And this dashboard was designed to provide for and encourage engagement from those we serve. This interactive report is in line with our strategic plan as we utilize technology to improve openness, accessibility, and transparency. Power BI brings the data behind the county's Measure K efforts to life by making this information easy to access and understand. This dashboard is dynamic and it provides priority, project, budget, and performance data for every tax dollar received through Measure K. And I'm going to demonstrate now how you can navigate this. Here's our homepage, and from here you can see all of the priorities listed and broken out into their own areas. You'll see the total budget amount dedicated to that priority in this current fiscal year. And if you want to drill down more into that priority, you just simply click the button associated to that priority. From this page, you can highlight a project. So our priority here is maintain vital local public safety services. And these are all the projects that we have identified that fit this priority. If you highlight one, you're going to unlock the county goal, which is actually aligned to our county strategic plan. So you can see here every project we make sure aligns with our overarching county strategic plan. You're also going to see a project description. And the real important thing that Elsa wants me to stress tonight, she's told me multiple times, are these project performance measures to your right. And there are it's two columns, a target goal and a current goal. And so this dashboard is updated every quarter, and this data is as of December 31st, 2023 right now. And if you look at that first performance measure, it's the number of follow-up investigations conducted for crimes in unincorporated areas. It's something that Elsa even mentioned in her presentation earlier, and you can see the DA's target is 120 follow-up investigations. And current point in time, from December 31st, they were already at 329. So this is just a really good tool to make sure that the projects are fulfilling the initial intent by addressing our Measure K priorities. And you can see similar information for every project across every priority. And when you're on this page, you just simply navigate back to the home page to select a new priority. And all the same information, description, budget, data for performance measures can be found for everything. And again, we update this every quarter. So if you guys are out in your communities and you're talking about Measure K and you want them to know like what's going on and what's great, you can ask them to navigate to this. And it's always live on our website. Are there any questions?
No, very nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Great, thank
Looks
you.
Looks good. Looks very easily navigable.
Yes.
Hey, Caitlin, can you go to the page 2,
I think? Yes.
And walk them through that as well, please.
I failed to show you this, and I apologize. So this is just an overview page, and it's a quick snapshot of the entire budget breakdown, all Measure K monies. Here is just a quick list of all the projects identified all in one place. And this chart represents the anticipated revenue and our actual revenue. And it's going to be always highlighted here as the month it was collected for. Because I'm sure you're aware, but the money gets collected in 1 month, but actually distributed to us 2 months later. So we're reporting this as of collected month. Anything else, Jim?
No, thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you. It's helpful to walk through. Where are we? Schedule the next meeting. Do you have any ideas?
Chairperson Barbidge, I'm sorry to interrupt. We need to see if there's public comment on the last item first before moving on.
I'm sorry.
Call for public comment on
an additional
six.
Public comment.
Yep.
All right.
Each item that we do.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Does anyone, any member of the public, like to comment on this last dashboard? Seeing none.
Okay. Now we can schedule that.
Now we can schedule the next meeting. All right. Do you want us all to pull out our calendar, or do you have some ideas about when you'd like to meet?
Ms. Martinez, I think we're tentatively have some dates. So Ms. Martinez, do you want to brief the board?
So as I mentioned in our budget process, we need to meet with your committee before we adopt our preliminary budget to bring our proposals of projects, and so you can review, make sure it meets the requirements of the ordinance. So we have to meet sometime early June, if possible. We can, if you're not available right now to give us a date, what we can do is we can have staff reach out to you and schedule that meeting in early June based on your convenience, if that's okay.
That generally works the best, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Very good. We'll be in touch with all of you and Mr. Commode to get a date that works for everybody.
Yeah, just a couple dates, and I think that'll work fine. All right. Now, are we ready to adjourn?
Yes.
Have a motion to adjourn?
This is not I move that we adjourn.
Yeah? And a second at that end?
Oh,
let Regina, why don't you do it?
I will second.
Good, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
I'd just like to thank the members of the staff, too. First of all, for putting together a very nice presentation, but also those in the audience that were here to support and respond to any questions that we might have. So thank you for spending your evening with us. And we are adjourned.